We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello everyone, welcome to a special draft edition of RotoViz Radio. You'll see it's my co-host here from the RotoViz Best Ball Show. It is Zachary Kruger. We are going to be referencing the NFL draft day one, and we are going to be talking through some of the interesting actions of what happened, talking about how that will affect your fantasy football teams, your fantasy football drafts in 2022 after day one. We'll be talking about some of the ADP changes and what we think may change there. But Zach had a recap piece up pretty sharp after the round one had ended up on NBC Sports Edge. We'll be referencing some of that on today's show, and then we'll be giving our thoughts on what may happen throughout the rest of the draft potentially, but how it affects particularly the wide receiver positions in fantasy football. But first, as we kick off, Zach, welcome into the show. That was a pretty crazy night, a pretty crazy day one of the NFL draft, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I was out watching it with a couple buddies early on, and I think the one thing that I noticed really early into the draft was it looked like it was going to initially buck the trend of being an overly long, drawn-out process. There are some picks that were just flying in. We're so used to teams using every second of the clock before they mail it in. Dan Campbell, he had the 102 in for Aiden Hutchinson, I think, before Roger Goodell could finish up announcing Trayvon Walker at number one overall to the Jaguars. Like, he flew in with that pick. It was a very good pace. It kept its excitement from a pace standpoint. And then obviously some of these trades that went down in the draft, I think, just kind of added to the overall excitement of it. And then, of course, for us, we get to also approach it from the fantasy angle as well, which I just think makes it all the more fun at this point in the season. So really fun draft. We're a couple hours removed from day two starting back up. I will have another day two reaction piece on NBC Sports Edge as well late tonight. So most people will probably catch that on Saturday morning, but I'm excited to talk about this. It's been a fun 24 hours, and I think it's going to continue into
Yeah, and it started off a little bit slow, I guess. When we say slow from a skill position perspective for fantasy football, started off with a lot of defensive players going, and I was watching the RotoViz Radio YouTube channel with the stream with Ship Chasing as Sean Siegel and Ben Gretsch were giving their thoughts, and it kind of started off at a slow pace, not a huge amount happening, but it did spring to life in a major way. We'll be talking through the wide receivers. There was six wide receivers off the board in the top 18. Now, none went off the board after that. And myself as a Packers fan, and I know Sean as a Chiefs fan, we were hoping that we would get some wide receivers coming off the board there in those spots. But hopefully day two, which we'll touch on at the end, hopefully maybe they will be picking up some of those wide receivers, because there is some really interesting talents in round two and round three here as we move forward. But the big story is we have to start off with AJ Brown. He, obviously formerly now of the Tennessee Titans, was traded to the Eagles in this one for the 18th overall pick. Big trade, and a third round pick thrown in there as well from the Titans. Brown gets the big contract. We're going to touch on it in a little bit after we go through the wide receivers, but Christian Kirk and what his contract did for the wide receiver market. We've seen the trades for Devontae Adams. We've seen the trade, obviously, for Tyreek Hill. And now we've seen AJ Brown move, where there's talks of what's going to happen with Deebo Samuel. So much going on around the wide receiver position, but he gets his contract, $100 million over 4 years. How did you feel when this initially came in? That was a massive shock to the system when this one came in, just slotted in there in the middle of the NFL draft.
Yeah, it just kind of came out of nowhere. I think that there was definitely some marginal belief that AJ Brown may possibly be traded. There hadn't really been a whole lot going on between him and the Titans after he had expressed interest in getting an extension. But then Tennessee also said, you know, we aren't really interested in dealing him. We have no interest in trading AJ Brown. He's going to be a Titan for a long time. And that clearly didn't happen. So the rumors always kind of existed, but I don't know that we ever strongly believe that it was going to happen. It was definitely a surprise when it actually did happen. My initial reaction just from that standpoint was kind of that in terms of what the Eagles are going to get and how I think it kind of serves them going forward, is it's kind of retribution for a decision to select Jalen Reagor in the first round of the 2020 draft that didn't work out very well. Obviously, we know in 2021, they ran it back in the first round with Devontae Smith. He had a very solid rookie season with the Eagles. Now they're going to get A.J. Brown to pair with Devontae Smith. I think that's going to give them potentially two very good wide receivers on the outside. We already know Brown is elite. I think Devontae Smith could be flirting with elite status heading into his second season. The question I think is going to be whether or not there's volume there. The fantasy angle, which I guess we can just touch on real quick, and how that may affect Brown, whose ADP over on FFPC Leagues currently sits at about the 22nd overall pick. I think Brown will be moved back slightly, and just in terms of overall ranks, in part because he's no longer going to be in quite, I think, as friendly of an offense in terms of last season. There wasn't really a lot of legitimate talent surrounding him at wide receiver, really even at tight end. Tennessee didn't have a lot to offer. But we know Dallas Goedert's a very good tight end. I just mentioned Devontae Smith, I think, could be on the come up in his second year. So I think Brown, just from that perspective of having more talent around him, he could see a slight drop in ADP probably at this point in time. I think somewhere into the mid third round or so. I'd be curious on your opinion of that as well. We'd really only be talking about him sliding between six to eight spots for that to come to fruition. So I think it's possible. And then in addition to that, I think there's going to be some initial panic that Brown is falling to a team who prioritizes running the ball and has a mobile quarterback, which is going to be very ironic given the fact that he's coming from a team in Tennessee that truly prioritizes in running the ball. He's going to go from one run-heavy team to another last season in neutral game scripts. Philadelphia ranked second in terms of most run-heavy script. They ran at a 49% clip in neutral game scripts, and then Tennessee was right behind them at 48%. So I think from the perspective of it being, you know, play calling and what the team wants to do and how they want to establish things, I think that that's going to be very similar. But I could also see Philadelphia giving a bit of a bump to their passing game because they do have AJ Brown now. And they're paying him, as you said, $100 million to be there. So contracts can kind of drive things, and what they gave up can drive things into teams, hopefully shifting their tendencies in a way that we think is more positive for fantasy and the players that we like. So I wouldn't overreact too much to this, but I'd be curious to your thoughts after I gave what was probably for some too long of an explanation on my opinions on this.
So I'll go pretty rapid fire, but we did touch on this before we started recording. And I think that if he drops, you know, four to five spots in ADP, I'll be drafting him in every single league. I think sometimes we overreact to situations of change, particularly at the quarterback position. And I think that players with elite talent are going to overcome that. And I think with what he can do after the catch, with what he can do also as a vertical option, I think that AJ Brown is going to be a superstar no matter where he plays. I actually think that in times like this, when we see offenses get more skill position players, it makes it harder to double cover him or to have no options, you know, to have to take away. And sometimes we see with Washington, we'll talk about them in a moment, you know, Terry McLaurin can be kind of bracketed out of games. I don't think you can do that with AJ Brown. And I think what the Saints what the Eagles are doing here is they have a rookie quarterback on that rookie contract, and they're going to load up in other positions to give that team every opportunity. So even if it doesn't work out this year, they can decide, well, you know, Jalen Hurts isn't the guy and move on. But I think that the Eagles, and we'll talk much more about it in the coming week, I think it's going to be a very interesting spot for fantasy football in 2022.
One thing I just wanted to add real quick, and then we can officially move on from me talking about this, but I just pulled up the per game numbers real quick for Ryan Tannehill and Jalen Hurts in 2021. Last season, Ryan Tannehill averaged 219.6 passing yards per game, 1.2 touchdown passes per game. Jalen Hurts averaged just exactly 10 yards per game passing less than Tannehill did last season. And as far as touchdowns go, again, Tannehill 1.2 per game, Jalen Hurts 1.1. So neither overly impressive, but I'll also say the other argument on that is neither suggests that there could be a significant drop for AJ Brown, who I think still may be going to an offense that is going to be ready to prioritize the pass a little bit more next season.
Yeah, and we are going to talk about who the Titans replaced him with in a moment. We're going to bracket all those rookies together. But Marquise Brown, the other player who did get traded, he currently sits at wide or FFPC ADP of 82. Going to them for the 100th pick and getting the 23rd pick back in return. So I think it's going to be a good spot for him, but I do think that it is going to be tricky for him to get the same amount of target volume that he would have if he was with the Ravens, and that's because DeAndre Hopkins is there with the Cardinals. So I think his ADP will probably boost by this news, but I actually think that his ADP probably should drop by this news. So I don't think it'll change too much, but he's probably somebody who I think may start to become overvalued. If his ADP drops, I'll reevaluate that. But how did you feel about the Marquise Brown trade? I just love trades. I love the way the NFL is evolving. And I just thought that this was another fun one. And these trades happening kind of within 20 to 30 minutes of each other was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was very exciting to see all that kind of unfold. And I think it just adds to the excitement for the draft overall. I'm with you as far as the Marquise Brown ADP adjustment. I do think that initially it's going to be perceived as something that's worthy of a little boost. I don't think it would be by much, maybe around, which I don't think for a player who was going as I believe it was the wide receiver 36 or around that range prior to this trade. I don't think that's necessarily a whole lot to give up. Brown did have a very impressive target share during his time in Baltimore. I think it was somewhere around 24% for his career. He went over 1,000 yards last season for the first time. But as you said, you're going to be going and you're going to be playing with DeAndre Hopkins in Arizona. I think that that's certainly going to cut into that. He's going to see a target share dip. But maybe the familiarity of also playing with former college teammate Kyler Murray kind of adds to that a little bit. Maybe there's a little bit of a familiarity there that ends up doing something to kind of make Brown's target share, while it may decline a little bit, his overall efficiency is still better just in the fact that the two players are familiar with one another and how they work together. So I do think that is the case. Brown's price, I think, would be too rich for me if it starts to slide up any more than like about a round of ADP. I think I'll be completely out on him unless there's some kind of camp rumors that just suggest they're going to be throwing the ball so much that there's going to be enough for all the top two wide receivers to be viable picks here.
Yeah, it feels that way. We're going to get into those wide receivers now, and six going in the top 18, as I mentioned. Myself and Sean on the show last week did some bold predictions with Travis May, and he thought 9 in the first round, which was obviously very high, which would have been a bold prediction, would have been a lot of fun. And then I thought 7. So we fell kind of just below that one, but 6 in the top 18, it looked like we were on for, you know, 10 in the first round. Then we'll talk about the quarterbacks in a minute, but quarterback not going the way most people anticipated in this one. But first off the board was Drake London going at number 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. So they pair him up with Pitts. Obviously, we have Calvin Ridley suspended for the season and Marcus Mariota currently slated to be the quarterback. But as we mentioned, recording this after round 1, and who knows what happens with the quarterbacks again, who we'll get to in a moment if one of those ends up in Atlanta. The Jets then go for Garrett Wilson out of USC, and they pick him with the 10th pick. He currently has an ADP of 105. I mentioned Drake London a moment ago. His ADP is 115. So we'll see how these ADPs settle over the coming weeks, and we will get Zach's thoughts on those players in a moment. But the Saints and the Washington Commanders then made some moves trading. The Saints traded the 16th pick and a third rounder and a fourth rounder to Washington for the 11th pick. They move up. They get Chris Olave, who I was hoping may have got to the Packers, which he was obviously long gone by the time we got on the clock. He is going at 124 in terms of ADP. I think he probably is the biggest winner out of what we've seen so far in day one at the wide receiver positions. But the guys getting that early draft capital and Drake London and Garrett Wilson, obviously a massive boost to their value as well. But that trade was only part of the story, because then obviously we have the trade previously. We won't get into the details of it, but the Eagles did trade with the Saints a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago or so at this stage now, moving picks. And the Saints in the end have given up a lot of draft capital to get Chris Olave, so they're obviously pretty much all in on him. But Washington then on the other side, they trade back, and obviously Zach, you are based in Washington. You know, we'll say, I don't know if the love of the Washington football team or the Washington Commanders is truly there, but Jahan Dobson then is their pick at the 16th overall pick. It felt like maybe they wanted to trade back. I think talking to you before the show, you wanted them to trade back, but it maybe the market wasn't there. He has a current ADP of 195, so a little bit later. But how do you feel mostly with that Dotson pick? That's the one that seems to be the point of contention. Everyone's kind of okay with the rest of them. I think too much was probably given up to get Olave from the Saints, but the rest of the picks going kind of as you would expect. And the final one there that we'll get to in a moment will be Jameson Williams and Treylon Burks. But how did you feel about Washington's moves here?
From a draft standpoint, I you are right. I think that Dotson, the player, is a fine player. I personally like Jahan Dotson. I like that he was being mocked in the late first round, perhaps talked about in the early second round. I would have liked to have maybe seen him go to your Green Bay Packers column, so there is that. Jahan Dotson, the player, I don't mind. From a draft perspective, Washington did trade back to the 16th overall pick, and then that was to acquire draft capital because they didn't have a third-round pick. They had a second-round pick. They did not have a third, and they weren't picking into the fourth. So they were able to trade back, get a little bit more draft capital. But then with Dotson on the board at 16th overall, I thought that Washington kind of dropped the ball on an opportunity to perhaps trade back again while still maintaining a pick in the first round to get who apparently is their guy, and Jahan Dotson, who they took over Treylon Burks. So I think most people would have had that ranked the other way around. I think it was just a lost opportunity to maybe acquire more draft capital for Washington. That's probably nitpicking to some degree, but for a team that has struggled to put things together and has as long of a playoff drought and just lack of success, I think trying their best to make the optimal moves at every turn really works out best for them. So I was a little bit critical of that and just what I thought was a bit of a reach on Dotson, 16th overall. From a fantasy perspective, you mentioned his ADP is 195. I'll be interested to see how this shifts in the coming months. I don't think it's going to see too much of a move one way or another right now. If it does see a lot of a move and it's up, I think that I'm going to be out early on. And that's in part because a lot of people may forget that Curtis Samuel was signed last year by Washington to a pretty big free agent deal. He missed all of last season with the injury. We don't even completely know what it was. There's some speculation that it was maybe more than what it was, some speculation that it was maybe less than what it was. He wasn't playing. We don't really know, but he's expected to be back heading into this season. And we know that Curtis Samuel can be a dynamic player when healthy. Assume that he is healthy alongside Terry McLaurin. I think we need to start to question just a little bit how Dotson actually fits into Washington's offense in year one and whether or not he can see enough of a role to justify any kind of ADP rise. So if it starts to go up, I may be out on him early. If he starts to fall back, if we start to hear how healthy Curtis Samuel is, then I think he becomes an interesting very late round flyer as a guy who maybe needs something to break his way. We obviously never cheer for injuries, but we understand they happen. Maybe something happens down the line where more opportunity opens up for him, assuming that the season starts off with all three of McLaurin, Dotson, and Samuel being healthy. So I don't love it for fantasy right now, but where his ADP is at, if it sits around where it is right now, I don't think there's any harm in taking shots on that.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And I mentioned Jameson Williams. He was a part of a trade up from the Detroit Lions. And we were talking before the show, I think I actually really like what the Lions did in round one. And if they get one of these rookie quarterbacks in round two or round three that were potentially thought that they would go in round one, I think they could have themselves really nicely set up. Maybe not for this year in terms of like competing, but I think fantasy wise, certainly. And I think they, Sean mentioned on the live stream that they could be the 2024 version of the Cincinnati Bengals from this year, based on, you know, the skill position players. You know, they have Swift, they have Hawkinson, and that. So they get Jameson Williams in there, but they do have Amon-Ra St. Brown. They do have DJ Chark. There's a lot of options there for it to go around, but the disappointing part is they have Jared Goff at quarterback. They take him at spot 12. His ADP currently 160, but obviously he's working back from that injury as well. And I did talk earlier, obviously, about the Titans and AJ Brown. They did immediately draft Treylon Burks with the 18th overall pick. His ADP is currently at 126. I think that will go up because you touched on AJ Brown and the situation last year for him with competition. Obviously, Julio Jones was there, but spent quite a bit of that time injured. The Titans do have Robert Woods coming back from his own injury, but they are kind of limited in other options. So I think he could find himself in a pretty interesting role pretty quickly. And you mentioned in your piece that he, you know, in the draft process, he kind of got comped a little bit to AJ Brown himself. So maybe they're thinking that contract's coming up, we have to move out, and we're not going to pay him for that, but we're, you know, going to replace him with his closest comp here. So going through all those wide receivers, Drake London, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, and then Treylon Burks, is there one of them who you think this draft worked out pretty much, you know, perfect for? Is there any of them that the draft spot has given more concerns moving forward?
I do like that Burks ended up in Tennessee, in part because of what you just kind of mentioned, the fact that he's been comped literally to AJ Brown, who he now gets to go and replace. So if we're going to assume that in terms of the size and the, well, maybe size is the wrong word, if we're going to assume that the role and the volume that Brown saw during his time in Tennessee is going to exist for Burks, then I think that Burks could end up being in a very good spot, despite the fact, again, that, you know, Tennessee has a more run-heavy approach, which I don't expect to change much in 2022. I also think that from a fantasy perspective, that while I don't love the quarterback situation, it's hard for me to not get excited about Drake London just a little bit. How high his ADP goes, I think, is going to be something that's going to determine whether or not I will be in on him by the time the season officially comes to a start. As we know, we've got several months before this thing kicks off, so we're going to see a lot of changes. But London walks into a team whose top two receivers of Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage each had 27 and 22% target shares, respectively, and neither of those guys are there anymore. So then you go down to Kyle Pitts, with a 20% target share, and then I'm just going to be honest here. I don't know much of who the Falcons even have at wide receiver heading into this year. The top two guys, I believe,
they might have to put Cordarrelle Patterson back out to wide receiver again.
Yeah, they're gonna have to do something with Cordarrelle Patterson. I believe Olamide Zaccheaus is still there, and I know they signed Ian Harditz's favorite receiver in Auden Tate. I don't think that either of those guys are going to be threatening for any kind of serious volume. So the fact that London ended up in Atlanta, even though he's going to be having to probably catch passes by or from Marcus Mariota by the time this draft thing's all said and done. While I don't love that, I don't think this team is going to be very good. The Falcons are in probably one of the bigger rebuilds of any team in the league, honestly. And I think they're going to be losing a lot of games that, regardless of who is in a quarterback, just pure pass volume alone and a high rate of aerial attacks could perhaps get Drake London to a point where he's a very valuable pick, depending on how high his ADP rises. I mean, if I can get him even within a round or two right now of where he's currently sitting, I would definitely do that. If he starts creeping into, you know, a 2 to 3 round bump, I'm going to take some pause and reassess who else is going around him and maybe pivot elsewhere. But I mean, Drake London, for those of you who got him at that 115 ADP, I think you guys got a tremendous value early on. He went to a team with literally no wide receivers.
Yeah, and like that's why obviously myself and Zach have been drafting this offseason. I've been drafting with Sean Siegel. We've been doing different best ball drafts, and we've been talking about the value of the rookies and how they can take that 1, 2, 3, 4 round bump depending on how things play out with draft capital. But I think that Drake London, and I think Garrett Wilson as well, like I think the Jets, in terms of the younger players that they have in there, you know, there is question marks around Zach Wilson, but they have him. They have young running backs in there with Michael Carter. They also have Elijah Moore, who I'm a big fan of, who they drafted last year. There's a lot of young players in there. So if Wilson can take a step forward, the Jets are going to be pretty fun on offense this year. I do think that the Falcons are going to be playing from behind, like you mentioned, but I've always been a Marcus Mariota guy. I don't, you know, I thought that, you know, maybe by this time I could give up, but no, I can't. I'm still on a couple of Superflex Dynasty rosters. So I think that him there could be interesting. Sean's talked a little bit about him this year as well, but you have Pitts and you have him with the Russian threat, but you also have, see what he can do as a passer. So I think it would be great. But look, we're recording this now on Friday. We could be talking on Saturday that they have drafted you know, a rookie quarterback in the second round and Marcus Mariota is toast at this point. So we'll see what happens. But I think Olave is a big winner based on what they invested in him, what, you know, opportunity he might have there with the Saints as well. So I think rookie wide receiver wise, I think we're in a really strong position. I think there's a couple of wide receivers that are going to be in the mix on day two here. And I think if some of them can land in those favorable spots, maybe somebody lands with the Buccaneers, maybe somebody lands with the Packers, somebody lands with the Chiefs, I think those guys, their ADPs could take massive jumps as well. Talked about the ADPs that can jump and the situations that, you know, things can be improved and with the draft capital. But then there's also the situation, like myself and Sean did a couple of drafts recently where we took a lot of rookie quarterbacks hoping that they would go in the first round like we thought. They didn't go in the first round like we thought. And I even seen on the YouTube channel a comment about the bold predictions episode that we did where I think Sean predicted, you know, five quarterbacks maybe in the top 15, and we were having some fun with that there. But that obviously didn't happen. But when we look back on it, I don't think anyone predicted that there was going to be one quarterback. We knew that the NFL may be down on this, but there's also still the fact that if you feel the competition isn't there to go and get these guys, and maybe they're all valued at a similar area, maybe you can let them slide. And if they don't, you know, get drafted, if a couple of them don't go, you don't really have to make that move up. We see the Saints make the move up for Olave, but if those wide receivers slide a little bit, they don't have to do that. So I think it's interesting to see the positional value. But in this particular situation, we do see only one quarterback go in the first round. That was Kenny Pickett going to the Steelers. We have talked a bit about not really been, well, me and Sean have talked about not really being Pickett fans. I don't know where you sit on that. Out of the quarterbacks in this class, we do like the other guys in the top five options better. It's going to be fascinating to see where they land here today on the second day of the draft. It'll be interesting to see if the Buccaneers, who start the round off, maybe put somebody on there, you know, to sit behind Tom Brady for a year, but they did take a rookie in the last couple of years as well. So maybe they don't do that. But Pickett ends up with the Steelers. Wasn't the situation I was hoping for the likes of Deontay Johnson, for the likes of Pat Freiermuth, but maybe he does take that step and adapts to the NFL very quick, or maybe they're going to think that he is a year or two away and maybe Mitchell Trubisky has really turned things around from his time in Buffalo. So what's your thoughts on them drafting him there? Were you surprised by this pick? I think, you know, it's hard to call this quarterback class, but he certainly wasn't my pick to be the first off the board here.
Yeah, for me, the way this kind of unfolded and the way I kind of viewed this quarterback class heading into it was, given that there wasn't a bona fide runaway guy who I think anybody thought was like going to be like the guy in the draft. This wasn't a draft of the Trevor Lawrence or you know, Andrew Luck, or even at one point in time of Baker Mayfield, despite the fact the way that has since gone. Baker Mayfield was, you know, arguably the consensus quarterback one of his draft as well. So we didn't have that guy in this year's draft. So my approach to the quarterback position for this year, in terms of how I wanted to rank them, was more so in terms of like upside. If I didn't love any of the guys, I wanted to rank them based on upside and what I thought they could possibly provide a team for real life or fantasy purposes. And that had me at Malik Willis number one, Ole Miss quarterback Matt Corral number two, and then I had Pickett in there at three. So to see him go third or first overall off the board amongst the quarterbacks, I don't think is necessarily ideal. But I wrote in my article last night that in some ways I think that Pickett makes sense. First of all, just in terms of how teams rank these guys, if Pickett is who the Steelers think is the best quarterback of the class, then obviously they go out there and they get their guy, and that's what they're going to do. But then also, in addition to that, under Mike Tomlin, the Steelers have been an incredibly good football team. For 15 years, he's coached this team, and for 15 years, Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. And as a result of that, the Steelers do not pick early in drafts. And I don't know that between having Mike Tomlin and even Mitchell Trubisky on the team in 2022, I don't know that the Steelers are going to be doing, I guess performing poorly enough to perhaps be staring a top five pick in the face in 2023, where now they can say, all right, like the Mitchell Trubisky thing didn't work out. We're going to go ahead and we're going to go get a quarterback who, you know, is a bona fide, like this is the top one or two quarterback of this class. I don't think the Steelers are going to be a team that's picking the top five in 2023. So in terms of the process and the way that the Steelers decide to approach it with the selection of Pickett, I think that if they think that he's a guy who they've already said that they had ranked higher than all the other quarterbacks by a pretty significant margin, if they think he's the guy and he falls to him at them at 20, they didn't have to move up to take him. They, in theory, are getting their guy who they hope is a quarterback of the future. And if it unfolds as such where Pickett ends up being better than everyone else in the draft ranked him, then Pittsburgh's going to have, what, maybe a down year in 2021 or maybe in 2022, maybe a little bit of an adjustment even in 2023. But if Pickett ends up being the guy, then Pittsburgh didn't move up at all to get their guy. He ends up being better than the rest of the league thought he could be, and it worked out for them. So while I personally don't rank Pickett as a top quarterback of this class, given that he was a top guy for Pittsburgh, given that they're not a team that is ever picking early, I think to take a shot on a guy who they believe can be the guy was the right decision here, at least from that perspective, even if I would have preferred the pick of the higher upside with someone like Malik Willis at Liberty.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how he can settle in with the Steelers. A couple of things as we get ready to close things out here. Breece Hall, who we talked about as the top running back in the class, did not get drafted. There was reports that he may go at the back end of that first round. That didn't happen. I would fully expect him to go pretty early in the second round as it comes up. But then we have Kenneth Walker and a couple of other guys in this class that I think, you know, could also be going in the second round. So looking to see where running backs go. The final thing we're going to close off with here is the Packers and the Chiefs did not take a wide receiver in their first four picks combined. I think we'll see them get into action on day two here. I'm hoping they get into action day two. The Packers have two second round picks, so hopefully we get one or two picks in there. I did joke on the prediction show with Travis when I said, how many will they draft with those four combined picks? I said, please don't say zero, but zero proved to be the correct answer. So that would have been a bold prediction, and it did actually come to fruition. But I do think as well, you know, teams like, you know, the Saints might get criticized for what they give up to get a wide receiver. We did talk a little bit earlier about Washington and how they manage the draft situation. We're probably going to be critical of them for not trading back and for drafting a wide receiver that maybe shouldn't have entered that spot, but they had to make a pick at that point if they couldn't trade back. Sometimes then with the Packers, we're saying, why didn't you draft a wide receiver? You should have traded up, or you should have traded back, or you should have traded side to side, or whatever you want to do. But there's not sometimes those options, and sometimes the players that are available are too good. I think, you know, the Packers and the Chiefs made some good long-term decisions, I think, and hopefully they can back that up with some wide receivers or pass catching options in the second day off the draft. The other player that's still available there that I think has a high upside is Trey McBride, the tight end. So we'll see what happens there. But Zach, we're getting ready to wrap this one up. It's been a lot of fun talking about day one of the NFL draft, the first round. A lot of excitement. If we get anywhere near the level of excitement in day two, I think we're going to be in for a treat. The guys and Ben and Sean, Ben Gretsch and Sean Siegel, will be live streaming the entire day of day two. So make sure you check that out on the RotoViz YouTube channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button over on YouTube. And if you are watching this on YouTube right now, thank you very much for sticking all the way to the end. Myself and Zach do co-host the RotoViz Best Ball Show. We will have lots of content coming your way on best ball over the coming weeks and months ahead of the NFL season. We'll be doing some live drafts. We'll be doing lots of podcasts. And we have a lot of evergreen content that we recorded last year that has reposted on the brand new RotoViz Best Ball feed. Head on over. The link is in today's show notes. You can click the subscribe button on that. You can check out all that evergreen content where we talk about zero RB builds, elite tight end builds, different strategies for your rosters. One of the crowd favorites, I have to say, is the reverse engineering your draft episode, which did come out in the last week. So head back and check that out. That best ball feed as well has best ball content coming up from all the rest of the RotoViz team. When there is best ball podcast content, we are posting there with those special episodes. So thanks again to Zach for joining me for today's show. You can follow Zach on Twitter. It's at ZK_FFB. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. And as always, until we're back with another show, have a good one.